Live from the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside the star of the Standard of Excellence show, Mitch Spien. Mitch?
How are you?
No, I was going to say that. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
I was going to say that. I'm doing well. And you? Okay, we're just repeating each other's comments. But if it's the fourth Tuesday of each month from 3 to 4, it is the Standard of Excellence show. And this is a great show, as you know, Mitch, because we have guests that come on that just demonstrate standards of excellence, what they do in their field they're the best at. They have the passion and drive and desire to help others. We love people like that. And today, there's no exception.
Absolutely.
We have someone that demonstrates all those qualities. Let's welcome Jim Williams to the show. Jim, how are you?
Hey, I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Oh, you're more than welcome. This is great. In your bio, something highlighted it, and it really got my attention. Former Pac-10 college quarterback at U of A. I love that. I love athletes because to be an athlete, and we'll get into what you're doing now, but it just shows that you have to be a cut above. You have to not only have passion and drive and determination, you have to be talented, be mentally prepared. Athletes are special, and going up to a high-level college is pretty exciting.
Well, I'll say you're – okay, that was a long time ago, Dave. So if athletes are special,
yes.
What are former athletes?
They're even more special because they've survived being a current athlete.
Okay.
So this is great. And, of course, you're owner of CRM Guidance,
yes.
Salesforce.com. What do we call you, specialist, consultant?
No, consulting.
Yeah.
And so what CRM Guidance does is we provide a bevy of services to companies who have licensed Salesforce.com.
Which is so important. I mean, you know, Mitch and myself are CPAs, business consultants, and, of course, we're on the radio all the time. Marketing is and sales are – I don't think people get it. I have a lot of clients. There's a lot of people out there we talk to. First of all, the first thing is they think marketing and sales are the same thing. They're really different mindsets, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's two different approaches. They're both required. You market to. You have a message, right?
Yeah.
That you want to convey. And then you selling it is actually getting to move that person from being interested to making some kind of a commitment.
Yeah, and so Salesforce, you want to talk a little bit about Salesforce as a product, or because you are a consultant with that product.
Right, right. So Salesforce.com is the leader in the CRM space. They provide pretty much an out-of-the-box solution that supports most businesses, small and large. Their practice or their solution is focused on sales activities, marketing activities. Now, okay, actually, let me say it in a different order. Marketing, okay, so you market to. So once you get their attention, you sell. So they want to. So part of the functionality is about managing sales activities. Now, once they become customers, now you want visibility into how we service those customers.
Retention.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot less expensive to sell to existing customers, right,
yeah,
than to acquire new customers. So
yeah, and that's a really important concept. A lot of people don't realize that. Where if you have existing customers, mm-hmm. I mean, there's always some additional services or enhanced services you could be doing.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, it's as a CPA, it's a lot less costly to go with your base of customers. Are you maximizing what you can do for them?
Right. And so what you want to do is really understand that customer.
Yeah.
So if you once they become a customer, with Salesforce, what the primary interest that customers have is gaining what they call a 360-degree view of that customer.
Mm.
So as your company grows, and when you're a small company, you are the marketing guy, the sales guy, and the service guy. But once your organization starts to become disparate, I have multiple different groups or departments, and they're in multiple different locations. Okay, now how do you have visibility into the activities around your customers or the prospects you're pursuing? So Salesforce.com allows companies to to create this central database where now they're able to share information. And if I'm a sales rep and I'm going out onto a call to a hospital or I'm going out to the dealership where I'm selling and that customer has an issue that's open in our service department, then I should have visibility into that and not walk into that environment and be surprised. I might be going to ask to close a deal that day, but I don't have visibility or awareness into an issue that customer's having. It makes my company look disjointed.
Yeah, well, that totally makes sense. So it's really does a lot. It sounds like it coordinates efforts among the company.
It allows them to coordinate their efforts and unify them and work smarter, customer better.
That is so important. And how do you get people to appreciate and value that? Because, you know, a lot of those clients we have or potential clients, they seem to be running with their hair on fire. It's like they're scrambling. They're like Fran Tarkington. Oh, I mentioned the quarterback. That, of course, he was great, but he's always scrambling because people are chasing him. And how do you get someone to be proactive? And maybe that it's just in the product itself.
It's in the product because once you have visibility into all the processes, all the activities that are going around a group of customers that you might be responsible for, okay, now you can prioritize them. You can put some order to them and prioritize.
That makes sense.
So otherwise, you fall prey to you know, chasing the squeakiest wheel.
Yeah,
right?
and
that's not always beneficial.
It's not. And you know, as you're describing this, I'm going to mention this phrase and see if this resonates with you when you talk to a potential customer.
Let's hear it.
A chain is as strong as its weakest link.
Absolutely.
Think about that.
Absolutely.
That's what you're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. So most companies, I used the word disjointed earlier.
Yeah, same thing.
Broken
right?
links.
Yeah.
The links are no longer connected.
So you could have superstar after superstar, but if you have a weak link,
then you've broken.
It could bring down the Titanic.
Well, it could bring down your perception of your organization
through
your most important or to your next most important customer that you might not get.
Very, very critical. And Mitch, you have a few questions? Or you're just enjoying what we're talking about.
Well, I put in when it's appropriate.
Yes, he does. I thought I was reading this nonverbal. Oops, my bad. Okay.
Body
now,
language.
Let's talk a little bit about your company, CRM Guidance. I love that.
Yeah.
And you're the founder and owner?
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. So talk a little bit about what that does for its customers. I think it's probably a little bit of an overlap. We just talked about Salesforce.com. But
just in my experience, so first of all, I started using Salesforce back in 2001,
mm-hmm.
right? That's grown into and so that was just getting hired into a situation where I had participated in a Siebel implementation prior to this particular engagement. A company here in town had licensed Salesforce.com, and they were using it as pretty much a Rolodex. They had a list of names, and these were people that they were targeting the market to. But there was no usage of Salesforce by the salespeople. So this company actually found my resume on Monster.com, and they saw Siebel. There was no Salesforce.com mentioned anywhere in my resume. And so they contacted me because they thought I was a CRM expert. And so they hired me for a two-month engagement. Just come on site and observe how we're using this and just create a document. Give us some ideas, a roadmap of what we should be doing with this. And that turned into about a six-year gig.
Wow.
And so as Salesforce grew and expanded there, they became public. Now they're growing rapidly, and they're making acquisitions, and they're increasing the functionality. So, and they started increasing the size and the type of businesses that were using their products. Eventually, that required them to be able to integrate with other systems that existed in an organization. So as their product got more complicated, okay, the demand for
not
real
complicated, challenging.
Complicatedly challenging. Then
I like the other word only because it's not as doesn't have as much of a negative connotation.
Yeah,
yeah, but if you think about it, I sort of like the way Jim said it, because if it's complicated, Jim comes in and makes it
Less complicated.
And no challenging. He actually will guide them according.
And that's what I found. And
yeah.
So as their product became more diverse.
Yeah.
There you go.
We got to watch this young man, Mitch. He'll give us a vocabulary lesson.
No, he made me think, though. That was good. Mitch, that was good. So as their product became more diverse, you could no longer buy it in the morning as they used to market and then use it that night. There was a lot more capabilities.
Oh.
So in order to get the maximum capability, then you start reaching out and looking for someone that has a little bit more expertise, right?
That makes
sense.
And
so I worked on a variety of projects, small companies to large companies, 10,000 users down to one user.
Mm.
Right? And so what I found were that the large companies out there, they had all the experience in working on engagements with consultants. They understood a lot of the risk associated with integrations and what a project looked like and felt like, how long it should last, and how to manage it and keep it tight. Whereas smaller companies who had never been introduced or involved in an implementation, they really needed a lot of hand-holding. Okay? And so just in one of my calls, I said, listen, why don't you just let me guide you through this process and just help you understand what it should feel like, what it's going to feel like, okay? And when it's done, okay, what you should have and how you can measure whether or not this was successful. And so the next time I talked to that gentleman, he said, James, that really resonated with me. You're going to guide me through this process of implementing our CRM. And I said, that's what I do. CRM guidance.
So there it goes. Hey, that is a perfect title, and people really like guidance because it takes out frustration, it creates enlightenment,
boosts confidence.
Yeah, there's so much that can go on with that in an area where companies need manpower. They need advanced sophistication.
Well, they need automation, and so what started happening in around 2007. When companies were falling by the wayside, okay, the employees that were sticking around needed to be accountable.
Yeah.
Okay. And so companies could no longer afford the fat that was built into their system. And so I actually got out of this space for a moment, and I went and worked in medical. I oversaw some medical facilities, some surgery centers.
Yeah.
And this company hired me, and they said, James, you go into these offices. And you find out on our side, okay, who's with us, who's on the fence, and who's against us, okay? Then you write these people up and get rid of the ones who are not with us.
Wow.
The ones on the fence, pull them over to the right side. And so I saw what they needed was accountability. I was there 2 months. And guess what they were doing? Guess what they were building? A CRM.
Oh.
In-house, they were spending to the seven figures for this.
You know, I like that accountability concept. How would you describe that in general terms? What does it mean to be accountable? How is it valuable?
Okay. So let's say you're a business owner, and you're paying good money to generate leads over a radio show. Okay. You're looking, at some point down the road, you're looking for a benefit. You're not just donating money to that radio station. You believe there's a fair exchange. If I put in that much money, I'm expected to get this much back. Right? So the radio show comes on. They say your name 25 times, 30 times. Now the phone rings. Okay, the guy who wrote the check says, hey, how many leads did we get from that campaign? He says, oh, we got 15. In the old days, the sales reps say, oh, these are all great. We're going to close millions of dollars. So every now and then that owner checks in and says, hey, how are we doing? Oh, everything's going great. Everything. So there's a whole bunch of trust, but there's no track record. The salesperson knows what he did or what he didn't do, and so everybody else is trusting that he's doing what he's saying. With a Salesforce.com, that same advertisement campaign takes place. We have a process internally. Phone call comes in, you enter it in Salesforce. Okay, if it's from this region, you're responsible for it. So now, the moment that gets in Salesforce, I can track everything that happens or doesn't happen. Okay. So if our process is, hey guys, new leads, we call them within 2 hours. If we don't move them to the next stage, then we follow up with an email. If we don't move them from there, then so we have this pattern of steps. Okay, so you build that into Salesforce, right? And so this is what I do for them. So I help sales reps get better. I help management have more visibility into what's happening. So the accountability comes from, hey, I see that lead came in on this day at this time from that source. Here is what we are supposed to do. This is our process. So now I can run these reports to gain visibility into what actually happened.
Which is
beautiful.
Yeah, it really is, because every great company needs a process in actually every area of their company. You're talking more of the sales right now, of course. And that makes a lot of sense, because if you skip a step, that could just kill the whole deal.
Right.
And
the beauty is that I can go back. I can always look back and analyze my data. I can run reports. Salesforce has, you can customize your reports to build them and look the way you want and summarize how you want. But what you have the ability to do at the end of the year, at the end of the quarter, at the end of whatever period, is look back into our activities and see what worked. Let's analyze what worked. That means we can go and say, look at all these deals we won. Let's look into all the activities that are sales and segment them by regions and then by reps. And so let's look, how many activities go into making a sale? So let's just look at our victories, okay?
Yeah.
Now analyze. Now are we doing it consistently? Okay, this person averages a close with 9 touches. This person takes 21. Why is that? Okay, we can delineate by products, by region, by person, right? Now you can do the same thing with the losses, the deals we didn't win. Okay, let's go in and look. Do the activities look different? Are there fewer? So is it the people or is it the process?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Let's take a quick break right now, but when we come back, why don't we contemplate that question and actually answer it, people versus process. I have some thoughts on that. Doing neuro-linguistic programming, you might remember when we first met, I told you about NLP, and I talked to other consulting companies about, hey, process versus people, is there a happy balance, how do you do it? This is Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, the Standard of Excellence show, starring Mitchell Spean, with special in-studio guest, owner of CRM Guidance, Jim Williams. We'll be right back.
At Birenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Weidenauer, Heitzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Heitzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moskat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking live here at the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside the star of the Standard of Excellence show, Mitchell Spean. Sometimes I call you Mitch. I call you Mitchell. Sometimes I call you other things, but we won't say what those things are. And special in-studio guest, Jim Williams, owner and founder.
That motivational thing is what you're trying to get to.
Yeah, the motivational thing. The carrot or the stick. We've all heard that before. Jim Williams, in-studio guest, CRM Guidance, a consultant for Salesforce.com. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
I'm really always been interested in processes, Lean, Six Sigma, TQM, which is Total Quality Management. And, of course, as you know, with neuro-linguistic programming, the people part of it, and we were talking off there a little bit about, I like what you said, visibility in the process gives you visibility into the people. Explain that for our listeners.
Well, people have the behaviors. And so whether your process is a tight one and a good one or the right one or the wrong one, your organization has they may have a way that you're supposed to do things. One of the things I love about Salesforce is that you can come back and run your reports and analyze the activities that support your processes. Sometimes you'll find that your processes are excellent, but you may not have the right people to execute those processes. And so I have an experience where it was a small software company. They had inside sales and outside sales. The outside guys were expensive. The inside guys were less expensive. The outside guys were tasked with closing the deals. These guys on the inside would set up appointments. Some guys on the inside were really good at getting appointments with high-level directors and VPs and nurses. Some sales reps, what we noticed by looking at their data, were when they had directors and VPs of nursing, then they closed almost 70% of the deals. So what that allowed us to do was rather than getting rid of people, and this was the recommendation, this was that part of that project where I went from 2 months to 6 years. Let's not get rid of those salespeople. Let's change their roles. Okay. So now the people who are really good at getting the appointments with those executives, okay, we're going to incent them to just do that. They don't have to close any deals. For them, closing a deal is get that VP or that director to this go-to meeting. Okay. Now the sales reps who were great at closing, then they became the ones who were doing all the presentations and demonstrations. Okay, so the cost of hiring new people and training is extensive.
Yeah.
So using a tool like this to have visibility into your process, you get to analyze it. Okay. And you know, I'm more of a proponent of, and it comes a lot from that experience here, where it's not about getting rid of people because they can't follow the process. Find out what they're good at.
Yeah.
Okay. Find out what they are good at. You've already invested in them. Find out what they're good at, and ask them to do that. Change their role.
Because it's really hard to find good people.
It's hard to find bad people. It's hard to find good. It's hard to find people.
Yeah.
Right? And so once you start investing in them, then, I mean, it just makes more sense to continue to invest in them.
Yeah. Because it is costly.
Does it make – can you kind of quantify difference between some of the larger companies and the smaller companies in using this and how it might benefit? Because the cost of one unit is going to be the same whether it's –
Exactly.
Either one. So you've got. So trying to say that going through this process for a small company is not going to have the same value, not cost, but value as for a large company, potentially.
It could potentially have more and greater impact. In my experience, I have a customer in Los Angeles, California. They became a customer in 2009. So I went and I implemented Salesforce. They had 12 employees, and they pushed back hard. This was completely new. They were all paper-based and Excel and these little cards. Matter of fact, to this day, they still call Salesforce the contact card and the account card. But anyways, it was a lot of pushing back and forth because it felt awkward. But the president of the company knew they had to manage their data better. So, and they were struggling. They were doing about $300,000 a year. And so we had an agreement to extend the engagement, and then all of a sudden they fell off the radar. And they didn't return my call. I thought, okay, what happened?
Mm.
So now, October 2012, I get a call from the president of that company. James, I need to get you out here. Come out here as soon as possible. They fly me out to L.A. They're doing $1.3 million now, about 25 employees, and he's given all the credit to Salesforce. Okay,
wow.
The automation, the organization, all their data is in one place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the initial disappointment of them disappearing turned into gratification because of the impact on their business and their willingness to admit it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're open. You go in and you meet the employees. I mean, they're excited, and they taught me something, and I never probably thought about this or looked at it this way before. When I listened to them, they said, hey, you made my job easier. You made this workplace better.
Mm.
We communicate, but I didn't. I mean, having this CRM that was organized and it matched their process flow, it made everybody communicate better. It gave them visibility into what they were doing with this customer. They had a short sales cycle, and then the customer had a life of about 6 months. And so that customer, it was a real high touch, and like a lot of people in the company had to touch that customer once he became a customer. So in the past, they did something that all companies do, big or small. They step on each other's toes.
Right.
Hey, call Dave Isaac today. So I call Dave Isaac, and Dave Isaac goes, hi, Mitch is on the other phone. He's calling me too, right? And we're unaware of it. So you make those problems go away.
That's very important.
Absolutely, because it leaves an impression with the Dave Isaacs that these guys don't even know what they're doing. I mean, do you guys even communicate over there?
I call them 3 times a day.
Yeah.
All right, just kidding. But I agree with you on that because that has happened to me where I'm on the – it actually even happened when I was on the line and another person called. I said, hold on. And it's the same company.
Yeah, exactly.
It makes me think, like, who am I dealing with?
So not only does it look bad,
it's
a waste of resources. Somebody's paying both of those guys.
Yeah, it's crazy.
At the same time.
Yeah.
And so that's So they're not being efficient.
Yeah, not at all.
Okay.
And that's what good processes can do, is make you more efficient. Now, as I'm hearing you talk about this and describe it, part of my conclusion, or an observation, I should say, part of Salesforce, the product, creates focus, and focus with talent creates success. I just typed that in, but it does. Anytime you can focus on something and you're not scattered, you can have a better chance of really getting into it, to understanding it. And Salesforce is an automated, it sounds like, just sort of automatically helps people focus.
Well, it's not magic, because if you persist and insist on being unfocused, then you can be all over the place.
Yeah.
It gives you the opportunity to be more focused. And again, like I said earlier, to prioritize.
Which is, actually, that's a great word right there, because so many people do things that, like, really
random.
With
randomness.
And there's no connection to
the last time.
The last time or
the next time.
Or the goals of the company.
Exactly. Disjointed.
Yeah.
The link is broken.
And that's why I think a lot of companies just struggle. They don't have the mindset. They don't have the knowledge. Maybe it's they don't have the product.
They don't have the guidance.
Yeah. Ooh, nicely said.
They don't have the
that's
guidance.
That's why CRM. Guidance. I love that.
Yeah.
Can I have that name? Okay.
Well, no, you can. What are you going to do with it?
I know.
On the radio station?
Yeah.
You can have it all day.
No, I'm just kidding. But it's a great name, because it really describes what you do. What are some of your most interesting experiences, maybe best experiences thus far with customers? Do you have any stories?
Well, I have a story.
That can be said on the radio.
Yeah, all my stories are radio.
On this radio, you can say anything, right?
Yeah, these are all my stories are radio
related.
Radio friendly. Yeah.
Is that same as family friendly or just radio friendly?
Family friendly.
Okay, family friendly is good. Yes.
So I had a customer contact me. She was out of the Bay Area, former princess at Disneyland. Okay,
wow.
Moves into the Bay Area. Becomes an entertainer. Okay? She starts entertaining at birthday parties, kids' birthday parties. Okay? She advertises. Mom calls her. Little Timmy's having a birthday. We're looking for an entertainer this weekend. Her business grows and grows and grows to the point where she's spending $4,000 a month on Google Ads, generating leads every month.
Wow.
$4,000 a month.
That's a lot.
A lot of advertising. It was working. It was effective.
Oh.
Okay. So she wanted a way to help manage the Google ad, the keywords. Someone said, you got to get Salesforce.com. So she gets Salesforce.com just so she can get this Google AdWords management piece. So she eventually learns that she's got to implement Salesforce and use it in a way that's friendly to her. I can put in information, I can save it, and then I can get my schedules out to my entertainers. So what I ended up building for her was something that was super exciting, because this was just one young girl. And she would talk to me about her process. And so one of her processes was, so she had contractor entertainers that she could book on the weekends. So what she would do about Thursday would see, okay, she's got only a portion of those 30 people obligated to parties. So what she wanted to do was to try to book all 30 of them. So she would start calling the moms who booked one entertainer and say, hey, I'll give you a discount. If you add another one, I'll give you 50% off on the second resource, the second entertainer. So what we were able to do in Salesforce was automate that process. Okay. So now she booked somebody for the weekend. Okay. Now, two days before that party, Salesforce knows how old the kid is, how many kids are coming to the party, whether it's a mix of boys and girls, and they booked Spider-Man. So if there's girls at the party and they booked a Spider-Man, 2 days before, send mom an email and offer her a 40% discount. So now it's automated.
Oh.
Okay.
I like it.
So 1 month after she did this, she made $8,000 more than she had ever made.
Really?
In 1 month.
Is that because
of the automation?
And
because her process that was supposed to happen, it happened consistently.
Gotcha.
Consistently.
Otherwise, sometimes she didn't have time to call everyone or
those
whatever.
Those are things that fall through the cracks. And what she had done was she had outsourced that to another girl. She said, I had two girls coming in here doing this. And so what would happen is she caught on. She could tell they only did it when she was in the office. And when she wasn't there, it didn't happen. Salesforce didn't complain. It just did what they asked it to do.
I like that. That is phenomenal. And that's a testimony.
That's
to,
a testimony.
Yeah.
And it's just one. See, that was really a company of one with a bunch of contractors where she wanted to replicate herself with these other employees that were making those calls. They didn't have the passion. Okay, they just knew they had a passion for their payday. When do I get paid, right?
Yeah.
And so they didn't necessarily follow the process.
And if you don't follow the process, it's like not following directions.
Right.
What happens when you don't follow directions?
Well, you get lost or you lose.
And you get lost, you lose, it could take down a company.
Well, you really, and it's whether it's a small company or
big.
There's some big ones we've seen disappear.
Yeah, which is really unfortunate. Now, why don't we take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about a little bit more about that. Would that be considered an application that you built for this smaller company?
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that because I know you build applications.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
And this is Breakthrough Thinking every fourth Tuesday of each month, the Standard of Excellence show starring Mitchell Speen. We have special in-studio guest Jim Williams, owner and founder of CRM Guidance, Salesforce.com. What did we call you? A consultant and a partner with them?
Yeah, we're a partner. We're officially partners.
That is excellent, and we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerham Baum and Speen PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Thinking Live here at the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside the star of the Standard of Excellence show, which is the fourth Tuesday of each month from 3 to 4, Mitch Spean. And Mitch, this is a great education. We are learning great stuff from the owner and founder of CRM Guidance, Jim Williams. And Mitch, what has been the highlight so far to you?
The highlight is the fact that I don't think there's any company that can't use this and become a better company.
There's no question about it. I mean, you and I know about processes, either using Lean, Six Sigma, TQM. We know about the people aspect, which is NLP. We know about the consulting aspect, being CPAs. This is a unique combination that creates excellence. And Jim, is that a fair description? You create excellence.
Oh, I do. I create excellence. I strive to create excellence, and I'm trying to make the workplace a better place and companies more effective.
Well, and that's so critical. Everyone wants excellence. Mm-hmm. Very few people stop to understand what it means to be excellent. They're just scrambling around. We talked about it a little bit earlier. They're fighting fires.
Mm-hmm.
They're just reacting versus planning.
Mm-hmm.
How important is planning?
Well, planning is crucial.
Okay.
And coming back to so planning is crucial, and it really ties into what I did in sports, playing football as a quarterback. It's about planning. It's about understanding your strengths, understanding your weaknesses, understanding who you're up against, okay, their strengths and weaknesses. Now, building a plan to offset those strengths, okay, to highlight your strengths and expose their weakness and hide yours. So planning versus random basic math, you want to give yourself a chance to win, then have a plan.
You know, the I've talked about this many times, and Mitch has heard it before, is I like to compare football with business because, you know, all coaches have a season plan, what they want to accomplish in the season. They have a game plan specifically for that game, and what makes up the game plan, the activities, are the plays. Just imagine if you called the play as the quarterback, but everyone on the team decided, no, I'll do whatever play I want to do. Would that be chaos or what?
Well, that and if that play meant something different to everybody.
Yeah.
So if you're on the same page, you know, running, executing the same plans, and then the chances of winning are not so good.
Not good at all. So I think that's a good analogy. Now, we talked about coming back from the break and applications. Evidently, I think you've created and designed 9 active applications on the AppExchange and for Salesforce.com, evidently.
Right.
Talk about that a little bit.
So what we do is our engagements involve coming on or engaging with a customer, understanding their processes around sales, around marketing, around service, okay, understanding that process from beginning to end, right? And then deploying or implementing a solution to allow them to do those things better and with this, with Salesforce as a tool. So occasionally you come across additional requirements that may not get met by Salesforce out of the box. So Salesforce has their own app store. You know, you have your iPhone, you have an app store where and or partners build applications that you can then buy, go to, find, read about, understand, download, and buy from the app store. Salesforce's app store is the App Exchange. So partners like CRM Guidance have the ability to fill some of the gaps that exist in Salesforce by building apps, putting them on the App Exchange, and then customers can go and either download them for free. One of my applications is free. Eight of my applications cost. So I can also put applications out there and generate revenue from customers who have an issue that can be solved by one of the apps on the App Exchange.
And that's another value of you personally, Jim, is mm-hmm. that you're not just coming in and saying, hey, let's force you to do the non-customized Salesforce.com, and here it is out of the box, use it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking beyond that. Like, what I liked what you said earlier is that you're matching the power of Salesforce.com with the existing processes or processes that you're improving.
Mm-hmm.
You're matching the two, and then you're looking at, hey, is there something else we could do? You build it out.
Right. Well, when you listen, when you listen to the whole issues and you listen to what all the requirements are, there are some requirements that they might have that can't be met.
Yeah.
One of them is a simple one: GoToMeeting, real popular web sharing tool where meetings can get conducted over the web. Okay, they're one of the leaders in the space: Cisco WebEx and Google. And GoToMeeting.
Yeah,
those are the two leading vendors in that space. So, what's the likelihood of some company having Salesforce as a tool to manage their customer relationship management, and then GoToMeeting to manage those meetings? Okay, so probability is high. We have lots of customers who have both licenses of both of these firms. So what we built was an application that allows Salesforce users to create their GoToMeetings and invite people to their GoToMeetings without ever logging in to Citrix, which is where GoToMeeting is hosted.
So they could stay in Salesforce.
Stay in Salesforce. I could be on a call with you right now, and you say, Dave, let's jump on a meeting. Ordinarily, I'd have to go to another browser, open a new tab, log in to GoToMeeting, right, and then send that invitation code to that user.
Yeah,
you have to go back and get his email address, come and paste it over here, send it out, right? So now, if I'm talking to Dave Isaac in Salesforce, I might be on what Salesforce calls a lead or a contact record. Now I can just hit a button, generate a meeting, and that invitation automatically goes out to him, and I launch that meeting right from Salesforce without air. So just saving some clicks. So if you're in a company where that's your standard to conduct lots of meetings using GoToMeeting, just the saving the keystrokes, saving a minute or two here times 10 employees, 30 employees, you know, three or four times a week each, then that's efficiency, creating a little bit of efficiency.
What I wrote down as you were talking, same words that you just used, save time, more efficiency, less distractions, and less steps.
And you capture the information. So now it's in Salesforce, you can report on it.
Oh, during the meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
So not just during the meeting, afterwards. Now your manager wants to know, hey, how many meetings is Mitch generating every week, every month? Right? Now I could just run a report. That information is already in Salesforce. So once you invite that customer, that it logs, it creates a record in Salesforce that can be analyzed. Whereas when you're forced to you're managing your GoToMeeting outside of Salesforce, now you're faced with the inconsistency at which sales reps input information into their CRM. I had this meeting manager, but I didn't put it in Salesforce. Now Salesforce is doing it for you.
That is fantastic. I mean, people talk about time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they usually just talk about it. But to really save time and create more efficiency, that should be a dream for most owners, most managers, most employees, right?
It is. I literally see people smile and just kind of go into like, wow.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, I hear it all the time too. But I think it takes, you know, the people part of it, it really takes, I think, a clear mindset to get out of the whirl and the spin in people's heads. And is that something you deal with all the time? Because you got to get them to at least sit down and focus and say, okay, you may have to take a step back to go two steps forward.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's a lot of pushback. And so really what I found is if you take your time and just really listen to the user and understand what their greatest pain points are, you know, prioritize those pain points. If you want to get them to move in there, then address their biggest pain points. You know, so understand their biggest pain points, prioritize them. You may not be able to get all of them resolved with this solution, but if you start at the top, you know, prioritize, right, then the way you're going to get them to move and change some of those habits, because just like good habits are hard to break, so are bad habits, right?
That's a good point. Habit is a habit.
It's a habit, right?
Unless it's a Hobbit, which is a movie that I didn't even like.
Right.
Remember the Hobbit?
Yes.
What was that called?
So Hobbit is a bad habit.
A Hobbit. No, that was a movie. I forgot what it was called.
The Hobbit.
Well,
the Hobbit.
There was one that was called The Hobbit, and there's another one.
The old books. There's The Hobbit.
Yeah. Tolkien.
Yeah.
They're little guys, right?
Yeah. Bilbo and all of those.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And what do you call it? The Twin Towers. Lord of the Rings. That's what it is. Pain points. So that's good to recognize that because you're really trying to relieve pain.
Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's good because you're helping people.
I am, and I enjoy it, man. It's been an amazing journey.
Wow, that is fantastic. I think, you know, it's really special, and I recognize greatness in you because there's very few people that I've met as a CPA that understand processes, and it's so critical. In fact, I've talked to Mitch about this many times. The mid-market, well, let's put it this way. The very large companies hire people that know processes.
Right.
I mean, they hire them. You know, whether they're good or not is debatable. But the mid-market's without. And there's just not a lot of people that understand it. CPAs don't understand it that well. Other consultants don't. But just pure processes. And I'll tell you, you could go in, I could go in, any company, and immediately solve some major pain points for them because their processes, most of them, are horrendous or there isn't any. It's just what they want to do.
Well, my sweet spot is small and medium businesses.
Mm.
And a lot of them don't have defined processes. And
yeah.
It's never greatly exposed than implementing a solution like this and watching them try to be inconsistent about how they, you know, put information into the system or not.
Yeah.
How do you identify when somebody actually, as you were saying, actually needs to implement this? You know, if they're going along and they seem to be doing okay, and you know that something like Salesforce is going to absolutely help them off the board, but they don't see it.
Well, I think I'm a little bit lucky that way because I don't sell Salesforce. When they come to me, they've already licensed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've already licensed it.
They need someone to guide them.
Yeah, so they've already gone through the I think I need this to I need it, let's license it. Sometimes it's set on the shelf for a year.
Oh, wow.
But by the time they get to me, they recognize they need someone to guide them through how do we get the most out of this.
I guess.
Half of my customers have had the license for a year
okay.
to 3 years.
Got you.
Okay. And so now they just want to get more out of it. Sometimes they're starting to get it and going, wait a minute, this is really useful.
Yeah.
I know I'm using a fraction of the functionalities and the capabilities that this application offers.
I think that happens with a lot of programs, including Excel.
Word, basic.
No, there's a lot of programs that you just don't use more than 10% of it.
Yeah, so you don't have time.
It's a very good point.
Experience.
Right? It's like reaching your full potential. Most people don't, and we only have about a minute or so left, but what are you working on right now? Anything special? What do you got going?
Well, we have – actually, I have a new app that's coming out, Salesforce to go to webinar. And that'll be out by Christmas.
Nice. Is that a good Christmas present for someone?
Yes. So it helps company, it'll help companies organize their webinars and get that data from their webinars, the surveys, the sessions, each registrant, whether or not they attended, all those stats that you get from a session that will automatically populate into the Salesforce so they can have that stuff in one place.
That is fantastic. How do people get in touch with you, Jim?
480-696-3812.
So,
or james@crmguidance.com.
Wow.
Or, again, phone number 480-696-3812.
That is highly important, and the best gift anyone can give to themselves is something that will improve themselves, their company. I always said people cannot go higher than their own self-imposed limitations, their company can. And whether you're improving yourself, improving your systems, that's the greatest gift I think anyone can give. Jim Williams, thank you so much. It's been really a pleasure talking with you. I love this stuff.
Hey, me too. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me here. And this flew by. This felt like about a 30-minute period.
I know. It was phenomenal. And thank you again. We'll have you on again. There's no doubt. And again, if you want to talk to Jim, 480-696-3812. That is Jim Williams. And stay tuned for the return of the Green Roundtable coming back. I can't wait for this show. This has been one of our hit shows over the years. It's coming back, starring Frank Clementi. We'll be right back.